Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. For those of you who listened to my audio about understanding the Germans and the Nazis, a quick lesson in understanding the Germans and the Nazis. I did mention Darwinism and I did mention the German philosopher Nietzsche. And Nietzsche is very, very important. Very important in understanding many things. And we're going to get back to Nietzsche. But when I was in the USA in 2019, I came across a little book called Might is Right. I'd heard about the book before, and I actually managed to get a copy. And when I began to read a little bit of it when I was in the USA, the book really started to grab me, especially when it turned out that the author was unknown, a lot like The Great Jewish Mask, also author unknown. But when I got to South Africa, one of my American supporters had actually found an audiobook of Might is Right, and I listened to it. I found the book so shocking that I was bursting out laughing at various places in the book. The book was really quite hectic. I can't say that I agree with everything in the book, but there is a lot of truth in the book. However, what I really picked up that was important was that this book was merely an Americanized version of Nietzsche, not in its entirety, but it embodies a lot of what Nietzsche is trying to tell people. And the book is very hard hitting. It hits you really hard. It's really straight to the point. It's brutal. It's blunt. But what made it even more entertaining was that the guy who was reading this book was himself very entertaining, and he actually made an incredible audiobook. Alex Linder's audiobooks are good, but I've got to tell you, on this one, this guy beats everybody. The way he reads it, the style, it's absolutely first class. So you have an entertaining book and a great entertainer. And the end result was quite astounding. However, it's not the kind of book that I would recommend that the Christians go and read, because it will shock them to pieces. It'll really shock Christians. And this book was written in 1896 to 1929. It was done over a period of time. Various versions came out. And I discovered that the actual author was actually an Englishman, quite a strange Englishman. And this Englishman went to New Zealand, he went to Australia, and finally he ended up in America. And I feel among the criticisms of him is that he's far too harsh and too negative in his criticisms, especially of certain American things. But anyhow, we'll return to Might is Right and look at other parts of it, because we need to also look at Nietzsche. However, what I liked was the blunt way in which this was done, and there were some fascinating portions to it. And this is one of the portions that I want to bring out, because nothing made me laugh as much as what you're about to hear. So the portion that I've pulled out is a portion to do with love, but it's to do with love and a woman's view of love. What do these women really feel, and what really drives them? And it's a male looking at what a woman's love is like. What is it that tickles her fancy? And some of this resonates with me. When I was younger, I believed that if you loved a woman, you must climb every mountain, swim every sea. There must be nothing that you let stand in your way to get to her. Unfortunately, the world has become so feminized. The Jews have taken all of the enjoyment out of every aspect of life that I believe that a lot of white people are actually dying on the inside. I truly believe that the vast majority of whites, men and women alike, are busy dying on the inside because they cannot take the stupidity of life anymore. That life is so ridiculous now, supposedly civilized, and trust me, this is not civilization. The Jews, the liberals, the communists have so screwed up life that men aren't men, women aren't women, everything is confused, the whole thing is upside down, inside out, nothing makes sense anymore, and I'm quite convinced, I'm absolutely convinced that large numbers of white people are either obese or sick, physically or mentally sick from the stupidity of life. That the stupid rules are so against our natural instincts that our minds can't take it anymore, our bodies are physically sick, and we are totally messed up. Everything is so ludicrous. Women believe that they've been freed, that they've been freed from their husbands. They now have careers. They can be doctors and scientists. And they believe that they are free now, but they are just free to go and work for a Jew or a liberal or some other pedophile or black or elite piece of scum who hates them and gives them a few pennies and a few breadcrumbs. They believe that they were enslaved when men loved them and had families with them. That was bad, and now it's good. Well, now that it's good, the whites are dying out because they're not having children. They're not getting married. They're not in any way reproducing. They are reproducing at such a low rate, it's absolutely shocking. We're going to be wiped out in a few decades at this pace. So this book is quite refreshing because it spoke about sex and love, and I really enjoyed portions of this. And the thing that it was getting at was that women have a natural desire for strength in men. Now remember that this book is based on Darwinism, evolution, and nature. And if you look at nature, when it comes to mating, nature's pretty brutal. And although this was written about 100 years ago, I will tell you that I did watch a documentary from Britain some time back on the topic of sex in nature and what can you learn from nature about this. Now, in my discussion about the Germans and the Nazis and Hitler, I was discussing also natural law. Natural law being nature as opposed to the laws of men. And what can you learn from nature? And if you look at nature, you'll see that when it comes to things like mating, you will see some intense competition among animals. It's really brutal. And that's because reproduction is such an important thing. If reproduction stops or slows down, the whole species is gone, and that's where whites are. We are right at that point. We're just heading over the cliff now. But the book is entertaining, and the guy who does the reading is himself just as entertaining. So there was a part of this that had me laughing so much, I must have listened to it well over a dozen times, maybe close to 20 times I laughed so much. So the guy talks about there was a time when men used to capture their wives. And it's really funny. And believe it or not, the Spartans who in ancient Greece were probably the first national socialists among whites, the Spartans had a very strange system of marriage. And the Spartan system of marriage, I must tell you, I think it could work even in this day and age. The Spartan system of marriage was actually quite interesting and fascinating. The Spartans were unquestionably the strangest white people who ever lived. Now, the Spartans were warriors. In ancient Europe, the Spartan women were known as the most beautiful women in the ancient world. The most beautiful women in the ancient world. Now, an interesting part of the Spartan marriage system was that a man could obviously propose to a woman and she could accept or reject it. However, they had an additional provision. And the Spartans, keep in mind that the Spartan men were warriors and their women were also fit, healthy women. And they had a provision that if a Spartan man wanted a woman and she wasn't willing to accept his marriage proposal, then there was one other way that he could get his wife. And that was if he could grab her and wrestle her to the ground. So if he was truly in love with her, he would grab her and he'd have to wrestle her to the ground and pin her down. And if he was able to do that, then she would have to marry him. And I think it's not a bad idea. I think it's got its moments. Now, in Might is Right, the guy doesn't know about or talk about the Spartans, but he does imply that maybe in ancient times when we lived in caves, that there was a time when men physically captured their wives and maybe had to tie her up in the cave and keep her there until eventually she accepted her fate and he could then unchain her and she wouldn't run away. But the thing which made me laugh the most was he read this little poem. This little poem that describes a young maiden and men come to her and they propose to her. And how they propose to her and how she sort of tests them, because that's also part of what women do. She's busy playing a game with you as well. She's testing you to see, do you really love her? And so she pretends not to be interested. And if you give up so easily, well, then, you know, then she knows you didn't really love her that much or you didn't lust after her enough. Another story as well from our history where the same topic comes up is the story of how the Romans got their women. It is recorded by one of the Roman historians that in the early days of Rome, the men who inhabited Rome were actually more or less a bunch of criminals and thieves, and they didn't have any women. And they came up with a plan one day. They went to a nearby village and they invited the inhabitants of the nearby village to come and have a sort of a picnic with them. So the inhabitants of the village agreed, and these Roman men and those villagers had their picnic. And then suddenly in the middle of the picnic, the Romans jumped up and they grabbed various women and they threw them over their shoulders and they ran away with them. And the inhabitants of this neighboring village were absolutely horrified by this and enraged. So in the days that followed, they gathered together a raiding party. Men armed themselves up because they were now going to go to Rome to go and get back their young women who'd been grabbed by these Romans. So when they got to Rome and they were going to fight these Roman men, the women came running out and they shouted at them and they said to them, you know, don't do anything. These are our husbands now. And so that is the story of how the Romans got their women. They basically captured them. Anyway, this is what Might is Right is talking about, is the notion that if you really like the girl, you grab her and throw her across your shoulder and you run off with her. So here is the poem. But this poem is absolutely classic. I could listen to this thing 1,000 times.
Quote, down a winding pathway, in a garden old, tripped a beauteous maiden, but her heart was cold. Came a prince to woo her, said he loved her true. Maiden said he didn't, so he ceased to woo. Came a perfumed noble, dropping on one knee, said his love was deeper than the deeper sea. But the winsome maiden said his love was dead, and the perfumed noble accepted what she said. Came a dashing stranger, took her off by force, said he'd make her love him, and she did, of course.
Oh, that thing entertains me, I tell you. And in fact, at a certain point in my life, I did in fact feel this way about a woman. I just didn't have the courage to go and grab her and run away with her. Probably they would have called the police. But anyhow, I still think it's not a bad idea. And I think the women themselves will enjoy some of these things. We used to operate in a different way, in a way that was much more direct and honest compared to the modern dishonest way. And between the communists, Jews and liberals, they've completely screwed up life, totally. I'm going to put in some other excerpts from Might is Right, which also deal with love. And then right at the end, the last portion again is that little poem. That poem was among the final things on the topic. But I really enjoyed the whole section on love and men and women. I thought it was very good. I had a good laugh. It made me smile. But I do warn you that men and women alike, Christians and others alike, will not like many portions of Might is Right. But I thought this might be a good fun piece that will make people think. And maybe you'll realize just how dead we are. Because we are like walking zombies in this modern world. We are like zombies. We are prevented from doing everything that gives white people pleasure, success, etc. Anyway, here it is. Enjoy.
From the earliest ages, man has captured his wife by force or stratagem, and to this day he does the same. Marriage ceremonies symbolize his proprietorship, his capture. The marriage ring is one link of a chain, emblematic of the fact that the prehistoric bridegroom chained his beloved one in a cave till she became tame, tractable, reciprocative. Strength, energy of character, ferocity and courage, she admires in her possible husband, above all other qualities combined. Even to be carried off by force is not repugnant to her feelings, if the bold bad man is, in other respects, acceptable. She pines to be wooed and won, or as it were, she likes to feel that she has been mastered, conquered, taken possession of, that the man who has stormed her heart is in all respects a man among men. This suggestive female idiosyncrasy is rhythmically set forth by an anonymous writer thus. Quote, down a winding pathway, in a garden old, tripped a beauteous maiden, but her heart was cold. Came a prince to woo her, said he loved her true. Maiden said he didn't, so he ceased to woo. Came a perfumed noble, dropping on one knee, said his love was deeper than the deepest sea. But the winsome maiden said his love was dead, and the perfumed noble accepted what she said. Came a dashing stranger, took her off by force, said he'd make her love him. And she did, of course.
So that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.